Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And as most of you probably know, it's a pretty boring time in sports. Football's been over for a while. The Olympics just ended last night. The NBA and the NHL playoffs don't start for about a month or so. And we still are a little bit away from March Madness and spring training baseball. Some people really love it, but there's not that much to talk about in terms of the sports world for this little bit of period until, yeah, like I said, everything really kicks into gear, and then you have the Masters coming up and all that. So it's a good time to look at the world of esports. We talked about it in one of the first ever episodes of Full Court Finance, and that's, if you don't know, it's professional video game playing at its most basic form. Esports. And on this episode, we're going to talk about the sports side of esports. So Madden and NBA 2K and FIFA, which is the soccer game, because originally esports had been more focused on sort of shooter games, multiplayer games, where it's just not sports video games. That's what most people think of as esports. But now these sports-based video games are also becoming widely popular. But before we get into any of that, there was also, when I was doing research for this podcast last week, this market research firm, Newzoo, who has been doing esports reports for a while, I think for the last 5 years, maybe, they just put out their 2018 predictions last week, and they predicted that this year, just esports alone, so not the video game industry itself, esports alone is going to grow into a $905 million business, and that's up 38% from 2017. So just the world of esports alone, this pro gaming, is almost going to be worth a billion dollars this year. The biggest money driver there is the sponsorships and advertising money and the media rights. That's going to make up about $700 million this year. And a lot of that, which is good for esports, is non-endemic sponsors. So sponsors that are not the video game companies themselves, not PlayStation or Microsoft or the EA Sports or anything like that. It's Coke, it's big companies like HP and stuff like that who are sponsoring these leagues and really driving up the money. And then also fans, esports fans, are expected to spend $100 million this year on tickets and merchandise, which, if you don't know anything about it, it seems crazy to think, but people do buy jerseys of esports teams. I've seen it on television. Just look it up. Maybe just YouTube it if you have a second. Just esports big events. They've packed the Staples Center. They've packed Madison Square Garden and big arenas in North America where regular professional sports teams play. So this is, if you don't know anything about it, it sounds kind of gimmicky, but if you're going to be a $1 billion industry relatively quickly, I don't think it's that much of a gimmick. And it's also pretty much all over the world. It's in North America, Western Europe, and then the Asia Pacific region. It's really huge. And then going forward, by 2020, this same report expects the industry could be worth $1.4 billion with an optimistic upside of, so they were doing surveys of how long they think it's going to take for the market or the esports market to become like fully engaged. And so the downside, they think $1.4 billion, but the upside in that same time frame, they think it could be worth $2.4 billion. So a jump from $900 million this year to $2.4 billion in like 3 years would be insane. And they expect it to reach, by 2021, 307 million fans worldwide, which is way more people than watch the Super Bowl. If you think about it on a global scale, that would kind of put it up there with soccer and basketball in terms of global popularity. So it's a big deal. It's on TBS, so that's a Turner property. You can watch all of this. Amazon bought Twitch, which is a big streaming company for esports. They spent, $1 billion 4 or 5 years ago to buy Twitch. YouTube has its own specific gaming channel. ESPN has a standalone vertical dedicated to esports. It's becoming really big. And this year is the first year they did this new Overwatch League in North America and Asia and Europe. It's all put together, and that's kind of it looks more like an American professional sports where there is a regular season and playoffs and a championship. And this year, HP, Intel, Toyota, T-Mobile are all sponsoring Activision Blizzard's Overwatch League. Ownership to buy one of these teams in the inaugural season was $20 million. And you have teams in LA, Miami, New York, San Francisco, and you have owners from big time American professional sports. Robert Kraft owns a team who owns the Patriots. I think the New York Mets organization ownership group is involved as well. So that's just a little background if you had no idea about anything to do with esports. It's a big money maker, and it's still early on in its history of being considered more than just guys or girls streaming themselves playing video games online. And that brings me to the NBA's new 2K League. So last year, around this time, so February of 2017, the NBA and Take-Two Interactive announced a partnership that they would have an NBA-sponsored 2K League, a joint venture, but that the idea is that all NBA teams will have their own esports version of that team and will play in a league similar to the NBA, where there's a regular season, the playoffs, and a championship game. But for a little background about the NBA and why they're doing this, Fast Company, which is a magazine, just last week released their annual most innovative companies list. They had Apple at number one, which I guess you could agree they could. Well, Apple's number one. Netflix was number two. Square was number three. Tencent was number four, and then Amazon, and then the NBA was number 10, right behind Spotify. So they consider the NBA to be a progressive league in the sense that they are trying to think outside the box of what they can do to grow themselves. I had a podcast a couple weeks ago about the NBA growing on an international level, and this is something they see as helping them long-term grow their presence, is to have... They're going to be the first North American professional sports league to also have an esports league. And that is going to start this year. In the inaugural season, they're going to have 17 of the 30 NBA teams participating. It costs reportedly $750,000 from each team they had to put up this year to start this league. The NBA 2K League Combine just ended on February 21st, which was a process where I think anybody could compete to get in the combine, which you have to play as you have to win 50 games or something like that, playing at a specific position over a certain period of time, and then you got invited to the combine. And now they narrowed it down to 250 players, and then they will draft in late March 102 players to be a part of this new league. That will be, there's going to be a prize pool of $1 million in this first season across three tournaments in the league championship. So it's a little unclear exactly how the first season's schedule is going to work, but it seems like it's going to run from May to August, around that. But this is what's crazy, is that this is the first season they're doing this, and they'll be, I think, six players on a team. And they're all going to get signed to a six-month contract. The first-round picks will make a base salary of $35,000, and then everyone else will make $32,000. So for 6 months to make $35,000 from playing NBA 2K is kind of crazy, especially when you consider that they also are getting all of their housing paid for. All these teams have their own Twitter account for their gaming teams, and they're all putting out videos of these awesome places they're going to put these teams up for the 6 months or whatever. So they're making $35,000, but they have no expenses. They're also getting relocation fees, medical insurance, a retirement plan, and they can also sign deals outside of this. And then they also can make money from this prize pool, especially if you're going to be the winning, the championship team is going to make the most money by far, as that makes the most sense. But yeah, so it's really not a bad gig for people playing NBA 2K. They probably do it pretty much their whole free time or already do this for a living per se. So it's not a bad gig for the first season. And what's also crazier to think is that all these teams who have this E version of themselves, so the Heat, the Magic, the Wizards, it's then Mavs Gaming, for the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's the Cavs Legion, GC, the Kings Guard, GT are their esports teams, and they all have their own Twitter accounts. A few of them had like 30,000 followers already just on this esports team that hasn't even started yet. The NBA 2K League is on Twitter as well. That already has around 45,000 followers. And then what I found funny and also just eye-opening in terms of how much money is going into this, that these teams are signing deals for companies to sponsor their jerseys for their video game teams. So the video game, the digital version of their players, the jerseys on NBA 2K are going to be sponsored by a different team than their actual NBA jersey. So Hot Pockets was the first person that's come out, or first company that's come out, and they're sponsoring the Cavs esports team, and they're spending money to put their logo on the digital Cavaliers jersey. They're also still looking, all these teams are still looking for sponsors like that. They're going to have on-court sponsorships and just anything that you would see on the real NBA court, they're going to try to sell that same sponsorship for the digital version. What's interesting, though, is that the season's hopefully, it's set to start in May. They do not yet have a media rights deal. The NBA and Take-Two Interactive are still actively pursuing who they're going to partner with. It could be Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, like I said, which is a huge streaming platform already. I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of those streaming platforms, and then you might see, since the NBA has such a big relationship with Turner and ESPN, that maybe you would see the championship game on ESPN2 or NBA TV or something like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if this first season is on Twitch. The NBA already has a partnership with Twitch, their G League, which is formerly the D League, their developmental league of the NBA. Since December, they've been allowing Twitch users to stream their own versions of G League games, which is actually really fun. It's a way they're trying to get the G League to be more popular. These streamers who are already streaming other video games can then broadcast this NBA G League game themselves and grow their own fan base. And then the NBA also does their own stream of it as well. And then in terms of the company itself, so Take-Two Interactive, they also own Grand Theft Auto, NBA 2K, obviously, and then a couple of the WWE platforms are some of their biggest games. And they're, based on this, based on some of our Zach's estimates, they're supposed to really keep growing over the next couple of years. 2018, their earnings are supposed to jump by almost 30%. And then in 2019, their earnings are supposed to jump by 57%. And revenues are supposed to be up to $3 billion by 2019, which would be a 46% jump from the 2018 estimates. And then over the last year, the stock is up almost like 80%. So it's really been cruising along, and this new venture with the NBA is only going to help, because these sports video games are actually really widely popular on a broader scale than maybe some of these more what people think of as the esports, the Overwatch or League of Legends. Games like NBA 2K have a little bit more of a broad appeal across the mainstream sports fan, which is how esports will be grown on a broader scale, is through these people who are already fans of more, yeah, like I said, mainstream North American sports. And then that brings me to the next company, which is Electronic Arts. So EA in their FIFA platform, or FIFA video game, which is the biggest soccer video game in the world. I think it's at this point the only one, whereas there is, I think there's still another NBA game, but 2K is the big NBA game. So EA owns FIFA and Madden and some other games, but FIFA and Madden are their big two games. And this past year, the Madden Challenge was on television, live television on the CW network. And it was the number one esports television broadcast in the U.S. for 2017. So that's their EA is trying to grow Madden as well and FIFA, which in terms of North America, that's good. You have FIFA as a sport for the young North American fans, and then Madden is obviously a football video game, and that is the biggest sport in North America, which is slowly losing some popularity. So what they're hoping to do is Madden then translates into I watch more NFL. For FIFA this year, they had a FIFA championship in Barcelona that 17 million people watched. And then this year they're doing, because it's a big World Cup year this summer in 2018, they're doing the FIFA E World Cup. And that is what the MLS is involved with this as well. And the MLS just announced, I think last month, their EMLS Cup. It's going to be the first season where it's not every single MLS team, but it's almost every MLS team is going to have an esports athlete be a representative of their team. You have to play with that team. And then there's a big tournament that will be streamed on Twitch, and it's at one of these, I think it's called the PAX East. It's a series of different gaming conventions that are all over the country. And they're going to then qualify to be a part of this E-World Cup. And that's just a push to bring esports and pair it with the World Cup. It's the biggest sporting event in the world every 4 years. 1 billion people watch it. And that's how EA and FIFA are trying to grow this esports along with tying it into actual soccer. And interestingly, the MLS pointed to that their fans are twice as likely to be gamers as the average sports fan in North America. So the MLS sees FIFA as being able to grow their sport. And actually a 2014 survey conducted by the league showed that about, at the time, 2/3 of avid MLS fans pointed to FIFA as getting them interested in soccer in the first place. So that's kind of crazy to think that a video game is driving people to watch the sport in general. And that is, like I said before, why FIFA and EA are working with these leagues and the World Cup to kind of cross promote and build both soccer itself and the FIFA video game together. You have other big clubs in Europe, Manchester City, PSG, West Ham. You even have NYCFC. They've signed their own pro gamers that are different from this eSports World Cup. FIFA is working, like I said, with the MLS, the Bundesliga in Germany, just to try to grow FIFA and soccer kind of collectively. And over the last year, EA Sports, which owns FIFA and Madden, their stock's up like 45%, and it's been up recently, even during this recent little market back. Their 2018 earnings are supposed to be up like 24%, 2019 up 17% from our 2018 estimates. And the CEO in their most recent quarterly report pointed specifically to FIFA and Madden really helping drive their performance. They noted that FIFA's mobile game there was 113 million users, which I thought that was crazy. I guess I didn't know what it would be, but I think it's crazy that 113 million people play FIFA on their phone. And then as we kind of wrap this up, there are a couple other companies that are involved in esports. But there's only right now, EA and Take-Two are involved in the sports side of esports. But you have Tencent Holdings, they own Riot Games, and they develop League of Legends, which is one of the biggest esports games, which has been around for a while, like a multiplayer online battle game, I think is what the technical term is. And then you have Activision Blizzard, which owns Major League Gaming, and then Call of Duty and Overwatch, which are two other big, not just video games, but esports games as well. But for a little perspective, like I was saying before, that in terms of popularity on a broader scale for just video game players in general, that in 2017 in North America, the number one selling game was Call of Duty World War II, but the second highest selling game was NBA 2K18, and then the fourth was Madden. So these sports video games are widely popular, and you have professional gamers and professional gaming leagues popping up in North America, Europe, South Korea. It's insanely popular. It's really popular in China, in Taiwan, and it's really important because the esports fan is in general under 30, has a decent amount of disposable income, and they're becoming harder and harder to reach on television, as everyone knows by now. So getting advertising and sponsorship to these people is good, and esports is going to be a way to do it going forward. And then also in terms of connection to sports, there are, like I was saying before, a lot of names you've heard of in big time American pro sports that are also involved in esports in the sense that they are investing. So just last week, Kevin Durant from the NBA, the Golden State Warriors, Odell Beckham Jr., who might be one of the more popular NFL players, he plays wide receiver for the New York Giants, and then the St. Louis Cardinals ownership group were part of a roughly $40 million investment round into this Vision Esports, which is a esports company. The Yankees are involved with it, the New York Yankees. A former NBA player owns one of the teams that Vision Sports owns. So these guys who have a lot of disposable income, obviously they're trying to spend it a little bit maybe more wisely than players have in the past, and they see esports as being a good investment now because it doesn't take that much when you think that Kevin Durant signed a Nike contract a couple years ago for $300 million, that he can invest $5 million into an esports team, and that's not much money to him, and it's only going to get bigger. I mean, it sounds easy to say that, oh, esports is going to become really, really popular, and it might never become as popular as what you would consider regular athletic sports, but it doesn't need to be popular in the sense that it's not going to maybe be on Friday night or Saturday night primetime on regular television, but it doesn't need to be that. If you have a billion people playing video games, then you have a lot of people who would be watching this, and they've already been doing this for a decade on streaming services already, and that's what Twitch is. And my producer Danny and I were talking about this beforehand, that yeah, millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people are watching a random person play video games on a Tuesday afternoon on their on Twitch. I mean, it's kind of crazy. So when you have these bigger leagues, esports leagues, that become the main ones where all the best players are playing because they're getting paid a lot of money, that's just going to become widely popular. And it's good to see that these companies, and so EA and Take-Two, are now becoming actual partners with the leagues themselves. So the NBA and the NFL is only going to probably try to do more and more with Madden to help grow some of their fan base as their television audience is disappearing. But yeah, it seems to me, and I'm not even a video game player myself, so from the outside looking in, it seems like esports is really just starting to take off, and that these companies are only going to be able to benefit going forward. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.